Go ahead and take a quick internal poll here. Don't have to have a show of hands. Probably it wouldn't be a very good idea to do that. Any of us here, sitting together in this holy place, ever just irrationally say, oh, just like a coworker, because he was doing a good job and he never did really anything much to you, but people just seem to like him a little bit better, maybe because he was new news and you had gotten to be old news from being familiar? Or maybe just had a little more charisma than you had? Maybe you got to the point where you almost couldn't work with him just out of sheer dislike. Did a little backbiting of the office gossip with people. Halfway hated him sometimes even for no good reason. Anybody ever cheat at school? Maybe just a little, maybe just enough to raise a score, a letter grade, say. Or to qualify for something that you really, really needed to win. Or maybe lie, cover your own tracks, to cover something you'd neglected to get done, maybe just to keep from disappointing someone, etc., etc., etc. As we work our way down the good old list of the seven deadly sins. Remember them? Good old, that would be another poll. How many people can say them? Pride, anger, envy, avarice, lust, sloth. I forgot one. What did I leave out? I think maybe lust. Ah, my favorite, personal favorite, gluttony. To be cautious, when I wrote this, I had to write them down rather than just make a note of seven because I get rattled every time I say them. Mostly, each and every one of them, at some stage of the game, can be owned up to by one of us, to one or another degree. We may not have ever gone out and slaughtered anybody, but we may have really hated them in our hearts. The seven deadly came to mind today because the readings we've had really, as I was looking at them, didn't seem to fit with a nice, pleasant, lazy summer Sunday. They would fit beautifully with the beginning of Advent, when the whole thought of the church is all about the second coming of Christ in glory to judge the quick and the dead. The last things, judgment day, the coming of the kingdom. Both would fit. Isaiah the prophet, it is most eloquent. This is maybe about number four or five of his most quoted passages ever that we heard today. And we notice the balance. Cleanse yourselves. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Though your sins be as scarlet, yet they'll be white as wool. The balance between the judgment of God and the faithful promise of God, the carrot and the stick of the Old Covenant, all through the Old Testament, from Moses on. Moses to Zechariah, God's firm promise, balanced by God's firm judgment. And we live with all of that. And then Jesus, in Luke's Gospel today, calling us to be ready, calling us to watch, calling us to have our hearts in the right place. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Calling us to be ready to meet our God, maybe in eternity, but maybe tomorrow, maybe today. Be ready. The Son of Man is coming. Be ready. The great Advent theme. Be ready. We hear those words. We say them to ourselves. If we're good at keeping our daily disciplines, we look at our own lives every evening, maybe before we go to bed, about how did I do today? And sometimes we can really get lost in those things which we do have to say to God that we're not so happy with. Or sometimes we forget the promises that go, the carrot with the stick. But the word of God that spoke to me most today, hearing this passage, was just the very first one from Jesus' lips today. The beginning of the gospel today. Remember how he begins. Before the call to consider, before the call to watch, before the call to be ready, the word, fear not. Fear not, little flock. Little flock, that's us. We are the people of God, the household of Christ, the Israel of God. Fear not, little flock, the first apostles, who were the first church, and so all of us who have come after them in whatever generation. Fear not, because God is pleased to give to you the kingdom. He is pleased. It is his pleasure to do it. He wants to do it. Fear not, little flock. It is God's great good pleasure to give to you this kingdom. It is not his pleasure to maybe keep you out, maybe let you in. It is his pleasure to give to you the kingdom, not to a chosen few, and not to keep the rest out. But he wants you. Fear not. This is the common thread, those two words, that run through all the sin list, everything we find difficult in life. The difficulties we make for ourselves in life come from a common root. It is not about seven things. It's really about one thing that causes the seven. And the one thing is simply the most human thing of all, human fear. I fear failing, so I feel compelled to cheat, even if maybe I don't really want to. I fear someone else's success or their popularity, and so I come to dislike them. I fear having less, so I will do whatever it takes to get what I need. Maybe just to keep up with my peers as I see them. Because I fear, I will take shortcuts. Because I fear, I will doubt myself. Underneath them all is the fear that I am not good enough. We all perhaps have, at one time or another. Everybody does. I fear. Think about what has been said to be the mother of all failings, that first of the seven, pride, superbia in Latin. It's a lot easier to understand pride if you think about it as superbia, thinking that you are just superb. That your will is just the greatest, that others need to kowtow to. Now, the reason there, of course, is the feeling that I am not good enough. And so I act as though I were the very best. And maybe I even come to believe it. But remember the word in the gospel to us from its very beginning to its last end. The angel of the Lord comes to a town called Nazareth to a maiden called Mary. And after he greets her, "Hail Mary," the first thing he says to her is, "Fear not. You will conceive and bear a son, and he will be great. Fear not." And the very last thing in the gospel that our angel in the window at the tomb there, the angel of the empty tomb greets the women come to it, and the first thing he says to them, "Fear not. Why seek you the living among the dead? He is not here, he's risen. Fear not." And today, Jesus himself, "Fear not, little flock," as he has said before over and over to the apostles at the stilling of the seas, "Fear not." To the parents of the little girl who is at the point of death, "Fear not." Over and over in the gospel comes these two words, "Do not be afraid. Fear not." I think if we don't remember anything else about the scriptures today, the word to think on this week and every week is always, fear not. In the name of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.